Beth from KiraWilliamsFitness.com, and today I have a really, really great podcast for you guys. And this is a ton of information. I might actually end up breaking this up into two episodes because there's a lot of info in here. But today we are going to be talking about hormones and how hormones impact fat loss and all of the different roles that they play. So I should specify hormones meaning like female sex hormones. So we are leaving the hormones off the table that that are, you know, in everyone's body, that, you know, the hormone that makes you fall asleep, or the hormone, oh, that's my mother-in-law's dog, by the way. We still have Frank, but we have a visitor. So if you're watching on YouTube, that's Ellie. So everybody say hi to Ellie. She made a little cameo today. But the hormones that are specific to females. So it's a lot. So just kind of bear with me today. We are going to be talking about the signs and symptoms, and we are going to be talking about the systems that we of our body that we need to support, and the things that the practices that we can take so that way we have fewer symptoms from hormonal fluctuations throughout the time of the month for those who are still, for those who are pre-menopause, for those who are perimenopause, and then those are post-menopause. We're gonna go a little bit into PCOS. We're gonna go into PMS symptoms, and a little bit on hormone replacement therapy. That is not my level. That's not my area of expertise. But it absolutely is applicable in this episode. So big symptoms of hormone imbalance that are unpleasant and unwanted and we want to mitigate. Big one, you know, for me, I'm a fat loss coach. So big one for me is fat loss resistance. It gets more challenging to lose body fat based on our hormone levels and different other systems that are impacted by those hormones. Poor sleep, you know, waking up in the middle of the night, whether it's from a blood sugar imbalance or a night sweat, or a multitude of other different things. Major bloat, digestive problems, constipation, or bloat from cramping and the expansion of the uterus. One of my best friends has severe back pain. She does have a spinal injury, but because of the expansion of her uterus during her time of the month, she gets severe back pain and debilitating back pain from her spinal injury, from the uterus pressing up on it. And then the bloat from the expansion of the uterus, which is probably my least favorite part of having a menstrual cycle. Cravings, fatigue, mood disturbances, anxiety, all of these things. Oh, even having like thinning hair and brittle nails, that goes back into that hormone balance too. So we are going to be talking about all of these different symptoms that we experience that we don't enjoy, and things that we can do to support our body so that way we do not experience these awful symptoms. So the systems, the things that we're going to discuss over the course, I am going to break this up into two episodes. We're going to talk about blood sugar management. We are going to talk about detoxification pathways. We are, if you're watching me and you see me looking down, I have a ton of notes on this. So I just want to make sure I get to everything. We're going to be talking about nervous system balance. We're going to be talking about the digestive system. And then we're going to go into some diet and habit choices, as well as dealing with sleep and stress. So let's begin today with blood sugar management, because this is probably the one that I have the most experience with as a coach and as a human being who has worn a blood sugar, a CGM, constant blood sugar monitor. And one that I feel like if you can get your blood sugar in check, it will impact so many other aspects of your life. So let's talk about blood sugar. We want, you know, peaks and valleys are normal. They're fine. That is part of a working body and a working system, but we don't want high highs and we don't want low lows and we don't want things to be dramatic. We want things to be pretty steady. And if you want to know more about blood sugar, I've got plenty of other episodes in my history, a podcast history, where I talk a lot about blood sugar. So here's the thing. At the back half of our cycle, for those who are still menstruating, and even for those of you in perimenopause, you're still getting a cycle, might be not your typical 28 days. For those of us, like I have an IUD, but I still have a regular cycle. I still have a regular fluctuation of going through the different phases of my cycle, where in the beginning of the cycle, things are higher, then things start to go lower after ovulation. And during the back half of our cycle, we are less insulin sensitive. So I'm not saying that everyone should do this, but something that you could do would be to lower your carbohydrate intake towards the back half of your cycle. Now, what that looks like is going to be completely different from individual to individual. And if that's something that you want to talk about, please reach out to me. We can definitely work on something along those lines for you if that's something that you feel like could be helpful. But maybe you just try not to eat so many refined carbohydrates when you are less insulin sensitive. So insulin takes that blood sugar, you eat something, you eat the carbohydrate, your body breaks it down, it turns into sugar, it's in your blood, and now the insulin comes in, it's created by your pancreas, and it takes that sugar and it shuttles it where it needs to go, whether it's your muscle cells, your liver cells, maybe your brain. It takes it where it needs to go. But when your body is like sitting here going like, hi, I'm insulin, like I wanna do something, your body's like, I don't care. So your body has to create way more insulin to take that blood sugar where it needs to go. So now you're creating way more insulin to help you. But when insulin is present in the body, insulin is a anabolic. It's an anabolic hormone, and when it is present, so it's anabolic. So that means growth. Catabolic means breakdown, anabolic means build. And so you cannot break down fat when insulin is present in the body. So I'm definitely not saying like go keto or anything like that, but when you have insulin present, breaking down fat is not your body's priority. So how you eat the carbs, the timing of the carbs, the kind of carbs, the amount of carbs are going to be different, and possibly something that you can look at in the back half of your cycle if fat loss is your goal. Also know that when you're having a large insulin spike, then your blood sugar is going to plummet. So guess what happens then? Now you start getting more cravings. Your energy levels drop, your mood might be kind of crappy. And so again, we don't want that peak and valley. We want something that's just kind of steady and not super dramatic. We don't want high highs, low lows, right? So by having more refined carbs or just more overall carbs, especially in the back half of the cycle, you're gonna get more energy crashes, more cravings. You're gonna be more on a roller coaster. You're gonna have more spikes, more crashes. And then what happens when you have a lot of spikes and crashes, that's very stressful on the body. And so now your cortisol is going to come in, which is all well and good. We like cortisol. Cortisol is a catabolic hormone, so it helps your body break down fat. But when cortisol is chronically present, then your body goes, I don't really care anymore. I'm not going to react to you. And then it becomes harder to lose fat. So not only do we have the insulin present keeping us from losing fat, but now our cortisol is chronically elevated and our body goes, I don't care. So now we're doubling down on making it way harder for our body to lose fat. So what we want to do here, before I get into what we want to do, I also want to bring in, let's talk for a second about PCOS, because PCOS is an issue. It's a blood sugar issue. So for those of you guys listening who have PCOS, we really, really, really want to make sure that we are getting good carbohydrates, not the simple to break down. We want this, you know, the potatoes, the quinoa, the butternut squash, the apples, the things of that nature, things that are going to be higher in fiber and more complex. So our body has a harder time breaking those down. So that way we have a lot more balanced blood sugar. Because PCOS, like if I could tell someone with PCOS to do one thing, it's to work to have their blood sugar balanced. Also strength training. So you have more muscle on your body. So that way There's something for your body to, a place to put that glycogen so it's stored, not just in your liver. So what we can do, eat more balanced meals. So when we are having carbohydrates, which are great, we're not just like having a banana. We want to have a cup of Greek yogurt and the banana. You don't want to just have chips. Like, I love the corn chips from the Siete brand. They're seed oil free. It's non-GMO corn. They're delicious and salty. I love them. But I don't want to just have the chips. I also want to, like, I love making, guacamole, but I always put like ground turkey in my guacamole because I don't really taste it, but it's also giving me protein. Even better if, you know, I can find a way to, sometimes I'll like saute up some red peppers with my ground turkey and put that with my guacamole and then eat that all together. So now I'm not just getting the carbohydrates, I'm adding in protein, I'm adding in fat, and I'm adding in fiber. So fat takes your body the longest to break down, and so it slows down all of your digestion. Fiber, kind of the same. It slows down digestion as well. So if we have fat and fiber present, then that's going to slow everything down, including the carbohydrates. Now you add in protein, and that's going to help your body balance that blood sugar even better. So we've got protein, fat, and fiber, and then we have our carbs. And here's another little tip. If you are really working to have balanced blood sugar, then eat your fiber first. Like, have a little salad before you eat everything else. And that's going to slow everything down. And then you end up with more balanced blood sugar. So we want to think about making sure that our meals are really, really balanced. So that we, that way we are balancing our blood sugar that way. And then also exercise. So the more muscle you have on your body, the more muscle cells you have. And muscle cells love to store glycogen. Not as much as the liver. The liver loves to store it the most. But if we have a ton of muscle on our body, then we're giving the rest of our body a chance. So now we have a place for the insulin to shuttle that sugar, glucose, to be stored as glycogen. Glycogen is just the stored form of those carbohydrates. So exercise, strength train, put a ton of muscle on your body. And then also just regular movement throughout your day. Getting up, like literally me flying my arms around like this, I am making movements with these muscle fibers. And so they're, the receptors in those muscle fibers are go, hey, 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 give me sugar, give me sugar, give me sugar. So if you can get up and you can take a walk around, if you can like run up the stairs and then come back down on your lunch break, if you can, if you can't leave your office, you know, maybe you stand at your desk and you do 20 air squats every hour or something like that, especially after you eat, then it gives, it opens up those receptors so that way they can accept that glucose. So it's not just being stored and going to your liver. And that's going to help balance your blood sugar. And that's also a little note for those who are dealing with like hot flashes. I have worked with two women that I can think of off the top of my head who have both told me that they have experienced fewer hot flashes. Sorry, I've just rattled my phone. They've experienced fewer hot flashes when they have worked to balance their blood sugar. Like overall, but then also eaten very good meals than the night before, they experience less hot flashes for that reason. I've also read that that's very much correlated in that as well. And then the mood swings, like, you know, oh, there's Frank. The mood swings, the ups and downs, the anxiety, those things that are associated with perimenopause and the big hormone fluctuations. Again, like if I get really low blood sugar, I'll start to have anxiety. And so the more we can have balanced blood sugar, the less of those ups and downs that we're going to have from a mental perspective too. And when it comes to hormone replacement therapy, HRT is not a magic bullet. It's not like you can't just treat your body like a dumpster and then go on hormone replacement therapy and expect everything to be fine. That's not how that works. If you do all of these things, then the hormone replacement therapy is going to work even better. Okay. Let's get into detoxification pathways. After this, we're going to take a break. And then we'll finish up in the next episode. So, as far as detoxification pathways go, we need our liver, our digestive system, and our lymphatic system to do a lot of the detoxification support. And that includes getting rid of the spent hormones, the used hormones, the ones that we're like, okay, I've used this, it needs to go. How does that work? Well, the liver is a very complex, the liver, the kidneys, this is a very complex system. They get rid of things through breath, through poop, through pee, etc. So we want to make sure that we're not constipated. If we have excess estrogen in our body that we are not able to literally poop out, then it gets upcycled back through the body, and then that can lead to estrogen dominance. Estrogen dominance can create a plethora of issues, but it's definitely not doing you any favors when it comes to fat loss. So we want to make sure that we're pooping every day. How do we do this? We eat plenty of fiber. We get lots of movement. We drink plenty of water. Those are three very simple things that you can easily do every single day to make sure that you are not constipated. Yes, there are many other things that we can do. We can, you know, add in psyllium husk. We can add in adrenal support, so that way we're not in a constant sympathetic state. We can add in magnesium. Magnesium helps the bowels. It flushes water into the bowels, and it also helps calm everything in our nervous system. So it makes it easier for us to go. So there's a lot of different things, and the approach that's going to be best for you is based on the individual. We don't have the same exact reasons for being constipated. Everyone is different. Some people I work with don't eat enough to produce poop every day. So we need to make sure that we are doing things so that way we're not constipated. If we're not constipated, we're less likely to be bloated, right? And then that is also going to, estrogen dominance can also lead to blood sugar issues. I mean, there's a whole host of issues, and it's really important in perimenopause because we really, really, really need to make sure that we are clearing those hormones. So that way we're not dealing with the mood disturbances, the anxiety, the, I mean, I don't know about you, but if I'm bloated, I'm in a bad mood. It literally puts me in a bad mood. So we want to make sure that we are supporting the digestive system so that way we can use that pathway for detoxification. Lymphatic support. If lymph is not something that I know a ton about, but I know that doing lymphatic massage, doing dry brushing, those things will help keep things moving. But also what will also help with the lymphatic system. So think of lymph as like, yes, we have lymph nodes, but we have lymph like all throughout our body, and it's kind of like under our skin, but above our muscles. And so it's meant to keep things moving. And if like things kind of get stuck in your lymph, then you're more likely to get sick. Because everything just needs to be moving. The other two things that I'm not spending much time on this one, because again, I don't know a ton about it. But drinking plenty of water and getting lots of daily movement in will help support lymphatic drainage. So that way it will detoxify our body. And then supporting the liver, not drinking a ton of alcohol, not eating processed foods. You can take milk thistle. There's a few other, like eating beets are really, really good for your liver. Cruciferous vegetables can be really, really great for the liver. And if we have a happy liver, a happy lymphatic system, and a happy digestive system, then that's going to help our body detox. Oh yes, sweating, duh. That's part of our detoxification too. Like getting into so much of a workout, that way we are producing sweat. By the way, doing cardio is not bad. How we do cardio is the key player there. And what we do to recover is another key player there. But getting ourselves into a good sweat a few times a week is incredibly good for our detoxification pathways. So we're going to wrap up with this in the next episode. I look forward to seeing you there. We're going to dive more into diet and habit choices, sleep and stress, as well as the nervous system as a way to help you have more balanced hormones. So that way you feel better, you look better, you lose fat, and have more energy. I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.